chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now, I will be referring back to that piece that I read a little earlier in Isaiah 2, I hope. I will be referring back to that as well. But right now, Romans chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And that's as far as we'll read. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for Christmas to come yet? It's just around the corner, you know. It's on Wednesday this week, Christmas. I hope you're ready. If you're not, I'm sure there's a few things that you need to do yet, but I certainly hope that you're ready for Christmas. Because Christmas is that time of year. No doubt that you've already celebrated some things Christmas-like, whether it be at work or in separate groups or in a different area of your life. You probably have given some gifts or celebrated some special food with some special food somewhere. You've celebrated somewhere, some way, Christmas time already. Likely, maybe not, but likely. I know yesterday, all day was a family celebration for me. I've celebrated with coffee break this week. We had a special meal at coffee break and some gift giving. We had times of different things going on in our lives. I was over at Sepoy Manor this week, and we had a special time of song and service over there. I have a service over there every month, but this time was a little bit special too, and we sang Christmas songs there too, a cappella, mind you, without musical accompaniment. Christmas is just around the corner, and we're looking forward to that day when we're going to be kicking back a bit, aren't we? We're going to be kicking back. We're going to be listening to some nice music, maybe on the radio. Maybe we'll flick on the TV and we'll watch a program or two. Maybe we'll just spend time with family and friends just playing games and laughing. And we're looking forward to that time. And we'll hear stories. Whether you're watching TV or whether you're listening to the radio or whether you're talking with friends and family, you're probably going to hear stories. Giving gifts, you'll hear stories. What are those stories going to be? Because really, in our society, we have two stories of Christmas, do we not? We have the story that... We have the story of this jolly guy in a red suit who flies all over the world, guided by reindeer. And we have a story which is a little bit more quaint and serene of a young mom giving birth to a child, or a young woman giving birth to her first child in less than desirable circumstances. And they're both quite equally supernatural, aren't they? Because on one corner we have this baby who came from a virgin, who as he entered into the world was celebrated far off by legions of angels who were singing beautiful songs and celebrating, and shepherds came, and a star was put in the sky, or a star shone brightly for some other guys, some far away who came from a distant land just to see this thing that had happened. And the other one, the other side of the story, we have a reindeer with a bright nose leading the pack of other reindeer, carrying a guy with a bag full of gifts for people all over the world. And by George, he's going to deliver them all in one night. Supernatural stuff. So which story is it? Because we tend, in our culture, in our world, we tend to mash them two things together, don't we? We mash them, we smash them, we bash them together. We make them essentially one story. Oh, we in the church, we do our best to separate that, of course. And on Christmas Day, we'll be coming in here and we'll be celebrating that story of Christ coming in the manger. Don't get me wrong. Christ being laid in the manger and in swaddling cloths in a lowly cattle stall. But we're also, on the other side, we're also giving gifts, and we're also looking forward to this Santa Claus story as well. You know, when I was at Sepoy this week, we usually have a time of Bible study, a time of Bible reflection, and then we talk about things. We actually back and forth. And as we were singing our songs, we got through three of them, and I think it was "O Come All Ye Faithful" and "Hark the Herald" and "Silent Night." And somebody spoke up and said, "We need something a little bit more. Let's go." And that's the way she put it, too. Something. So let's do "Jingle Bells." Or let's do "Santa Claus is Coming to Town." I heard of a church not too far away from here who earlier in December has a fundraiser where they welcome Santa into their church building. I think it's on a Saturday. I don't know for sure. I haven't attended. I don't know. But Santa can come into the church like Santa comes into the mall. And people can buy gifts, and it's a fundraiser, I guess. And that's, gotta wonder if we're mashing the two stories together too much. And if we are mashing the two stories together, the question comes then to me, is where is our faith at? And are we wavering in our faith? This is the question that hits me. Are we wavering in our faith? And if we are wavering in our faith, we need to maybe make some adjustments. I don't know. I'm not going to go anywhere else with this other than showing you an example of faith. Because there are few that compare with Abraham when it comes to faith, and I think you'll agree with me. Abraham was 75 years old when he was called by God to go out and to leave the land that he was in and to go and accept the covenant of God, because he was promised, You know a covenant, what a covenant is, right? A covenant is when God promises you a great big thing and you have to do a little thing. So you do the little thing and God does the great big thing. And God initiates it. And God said, hey, he said to Abraham, he said, hey, I'm going to give you so many descendants that you will not be able to count them all. And I'm going to give you a land in which to have all these descendants as well. Now, Abraham had a problem. Because Abraham didn't have child one at the age of 75. His wife Sarah was barren. And the text today alludes to that. At the age of 75, he didn't have a child yet. And he'd have to wait another 25 years in order for his first child to come. And in those 25 years, Abraham did not waver in his faith. He had doubts, don't get me wrong. He laughed when he heard about this. Sarah laughed too, by the way. But Abraham laughed when he heard about this. And some say that it was a joyful laugh, and it could be, but it probably more was like a laugh of, yeah, sure. But Abraham did not waver in his faith because he knew who God was. He knew who God was. And so he would have agreed with Isaiah in our text of Isaiah today that I read earlier for you, when he's talking about how great God is. Whom, with whom then will you compare God? Because God is the one who has measured the waters, all the waters of the earth in the hollow of his hand. God is the one who has marked off the heavens with the breadth of his hand, with the width of his hand. God is the one who has weighed the dust of the earth on scales that he's holding up. God is the one who doesn't need counseling, who doesn't need somebody to tell him what to do. Who has taught God? Abraham did not waver in his faith. He held on to it. Even through the whole Hagar-Ishmael thing, it wasn't a wavering of the faith. It was a thinking that God had a purpose through Hagar as well, that this was the way that God had planned it, which it wasn't. Until the promised one that was come by God came in the 100th year of Abraham's life, did he really realize exactly what God's promise was all about. And that began for him the joy of having children and the joy of the knowledge that through that one child, through Isaac, he would be the father of many nations. Abraham knew that God could do anything. And he didn't walk away from that. When we mash our stories together, are we wavering in our faith? That's the question. I don't got the answer, okay? I just want to pose the question. Because when it comes down to it, we have an almighty God on one side, and we have a human decision on the other side. Now, we have one thing in our corner that makes this extra or extraordinary, these two extraordinary stories different. We have one thing in our corner. We have Scripture. We have scripture that deciphers that this is truth, that the child was actually born of a virgin. As opposed to the other story of the guy in the red suit and the reindeer. We have the truth in our hands. We have scripture. This is non-fiction, this book that I'm holding up. Non-fiction. This is an historical document. It's an actual account of things that have happened. It's a story. It's a story of God's restoration plan for humanity after, well, for God's restoration plan for humanity. It starts out with that God created. Shortly after that, three chapters into it, it starts out that man messed it up. And right after that, and all the way through it, is God's plan of restoring creation and humanity to himself. And that culminates in the coming of the child. And there are four accounts in the Bible, eyewitness accounts, that talk to that child's life. Two of which talk about the child's birth. And they're eyewitness accounts that can hold up in a court of law. We have one story to tell, not two. So don't waver. When you feel the need to go along with the glitz and glam of Christmas and all the twinkles and all the let's get this thing going, stop for a moment and consider that what you're telling is not truth. Tell the truth. Tell it like it is. Tell the story as found in Scripture. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us to decipher between truth and non-truth. Help us to see that you are truth. For you say it yourself, Jesus, you say it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this may be a difficult message to hear today. But we need to ask ourselves if in our faith we waver, God, when we are telling another story than what has been given to us by you. We ask, God, that we would remain faithful. We ask, God, for your intervention in our lives as we enter this time of Christmas, where this time we will be celebrating what you are doing in our lives. We pray, God, that you will watch over us, that you will give us what we need. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us as we enter into this season. The season where the Christ child enters the world. Bless us in our celebrations thereof as well. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's rise and sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my